We gather this evening for Maundy Thursday, and two things that we remember from this night. The primary focus tends to be on the washing of the feet, but we often let slide by the implementation of what we call the Eucharist. Jesus is setting that pattern at this Last Supper also. With this particular gospel reading, it's not as clear to us, it just sort of slides in there a little bit. So we add this piece from Paul in 1 Corinthians where he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Familiar words to us in many ways, in that we hear them every week at this point in the history of our church. Every week, we have the opportunity to come to this table to experience what we call the real presence of Jesus in this bread and this wine, where he meets us spiritually in this place and in this space on this table, where we call the Spirit into the bread and the wine, and then we come forward and we receive it. Amen? And in many ways, we focus on that and we think, it does something for me. It does something to me. I have seen the way in which people approach the sacrament. Sometimes we approach it lightly, and sometimes it means everything. I met with the Eucharistic visitors recently. I want to say it was last week, but I really don't remember right now. When was it? I don't know. And I was sharing a story of when I gained some clarity in what God was calling me to do in his church in regard to the sacraments and the bringing of the sacrament to his people. And I was a layperson, and my children were younger. I had my girls with me, and I was a Eucharistic visitor. And we were called to go to a hospital to visit a woman who we all knew. She was older. She had all sorts of issues, but her primary issue was she struggled to breathe. And she pulled an oxygen tank with her to church, and her oxygen tank would be decorated to the season. So if it was fall, it was decorated with fall leaves. If it was Christmas, and so on. So that's how we always knew the changing of the seasons, being in Southwest Florida. And we went to see her, and she was in much worse shape than I imagined. And I brought my girls with me. They were younger. And we come into the hospital room, and she's like, "I'm so glad you're here." And her daughter is there, not involved in the church. The nurse is there, and they're looking at me puzzled because I don't look like anybody other than some young man at that point. Yes, I did look like a young man then. And I say, "Well, we're here to bring you communion." And the daughter's like, "No." And the nurse is, "No." She can't swallow. And she's looking at me saying, "Give it to me." And her mother, or her daughter, well, it sounds like her mother, her daughter is saying, "No, Mom, you can't take it." The nurse is saying, "I'm telling you, you can't swallow it." And they're arguing back and forth a little bit, so I took the wafer and I broke it in half. And I said, "How about now?" "No, it's too big." Broke it in half again. "How about now?" "It's too big." And all in between that, every time I make it smaller, she's just looking at me with this look in her eye. "There's no way I'm leaving. Give it to me." I got down to a tiny little piece of this wafer, soaked in wine, stuck to the end of my finger. And I wiped it on her tongue. And I knew that God was calling me to something more. And I wept, and she wept and coughed incessantly for at least 5 minutes. The daughter is shaking her head. The nurse has left the room, and she was so grateful to receive that sacrament. And I went to the car with my daughters, and we wept together in the understanding that this, which Jesus has done, the offering of his very body and blood, and the gathering of his people around this table, and gathering for this real presence of Christ, which we take in, matters. It matters to most of us here already. We know that. It matters to some of the youngest ones here, and they don't even yet know why. They come to the altar. I've often been asked, why would you give communion to someone so young? I said, well, the requirement is that they be a baptized Christian, and they're baptized. Some of them I baptized. Some of them I got to be there while they were baptized. First time I did it, I thought my parish was going to come unglued. And it was at my first parish, and I got down very low because the rail was open, and this tiny little person knelt down there with her hands up, and just squinting. And I put the host in her hands. I had to go under the rail. She was so small. And you could just see she knew that something had happened. See, and we know this, and we hear it, and we think of it as our strength, amen? And we grab a hold of it, and in our weakest moments, we're crying out for it. And in my weakest moments, when they come, if you happen to be around, probably more people on this side of the room, bring it to me, because it matters. The Last Supper, Jesus implemented the sacrament of Holy Communion that we follow and that the church has followed since the beginning. The teachings go all the way back. The book was finally published in 1016, and it's called the Didache, the teachings of the apostles. That's the oldest teaching we have, where it explains these things to us. This is how long the church has been doing this, because it matters. And I think sometimes we need to remember and ask ourselves, why? Why does it matter? Why does it matter that we come here to this rail, we come to this table, and we receive this little tiny wafer that we call bread, and we get this sip of this bitter wine? But somehow it matters. But I'm not sure we're grasping the fullness of why it matters all of the time. I know we find it, we find strength in it, amen? This real presence of Jesus entering into us. And I think the struggle comes, brothers and sisters, is sometimes I think the church comes and we take this and we take hold of it and we take in the very presence of Christ into our bodies and we are satisfied and we forget that the other thing that this evening reminds us is that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. They did not fully understand what he was doing, but they would, he said. When asked about it by Simon Peter, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus says, you do not know what I'm doing, but later you will understand. He's doing multiple things. He is setting a pattern of humility and service, but he is washing his disciples' feet with water, but he will wash them with his blood, amen? He has washed us in his blood, and we receive that body and blood in the Eucharist, and we take it, and we hold it, and we go, for me. And I can only imagine that God is saying, yes, and, because we need to see the fullness of the story as Jesus is gathered for the Last Supper with his disciples, and he washes their feet, and he serves them in the midst of all that is going on, and in the midst of what he is going to face. He says these things for you, for I've set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, You are blessed if you do them. Blessed if you do them. We live in a society and in a time where we are seeking and grasping things to build ourselves up, to hold on to our what is important to us, to find our strength. And what we find in the real presence of Christ within the Eucharist is His strength in us. And in this gospel according to John, we begin to hear why that is. And are we grabbing hold of that reality? Because in the midst of this, John, in this context, is telling us the fullness. Jesus implements this at the dinner. And while before dinner was over, he gets up and strips down to the towel and gets the water. And he kneels and he washes the feet of his disciples. And as he's doing this, you don't fully understand what I'm doing yet, but you will. He washes us still. And that brings us peace and hope. But we have to ask ourselves, why did he do this? Why does he wash us in his blood? Why does he free us from our sin and our pain and our sorrow? And in verse 34, he says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then he went to the cross for you and for me. But I think most especially this night, we must remember he went to the cross for Judas too, knowing full well what he would do. He washed his feet. He fed him with his own hand. And then he betrayed him, and Jesus went to the cross for him too. And then he says to us, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. This sacrament, the very presence of Christ that we take in, yes, it's for you, but it's for him also. It is where we find our strength to make it through our week. It's find our strength to make it through our illness, to find our strength to face him in the last moments of our life. This is where we find it. But brothers and sisters, it is also there, as we see in this celebration of the Last Supper in this gospel. It is there to be remembered that we are to offer all things as he offered all things in love to us. His humility in service, his very body and blood to strengthen us so that we could have the strength to love one another. Even those who may be for us, Judas. He doesn't say, gather your friends and do this in remembrance of me so you all feel good and strong. He says, you don't know yet what I'm doing. And I think sometimes, church, we still are not sure. I think we're like Peter. We're still thinking, going, well, what exactly did he do here? Brothers and sisters, what he has done is he has washed you in his very blood. He has strengthened you with his very body. And he continues to do so through the sacrament that the church has practiced since this day that we reflect on today. Why? So that we, in the moments when we're facing those struggles in our lives that are the most difficult for us, and those times most especially when we are called to love one another as he has loved us, we can find it, the strength within us that is him, to love the ones we don't even like. Because we can't do it on our own. But we must do it for him. Because He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. And he went to the cross for Judas. All of us washed in his blood, strengthened by his body, so that he may be glorified. So come and be fed. Take in his presence, and then go out and love as he has loved. But most especially today, never forget that he loved Judas.